What is up, Hockey IQ listeners? I'm here to chat about our newest sponsor, Sensarena. Your brain is one of the most important parts of your body. Why not invest in a tool that allows you to train it? With Sensarena, athletes can gain a competitive edge using VR training. Players are able to go through a scenario thousands of times without having to step foot on the ice. No more waiting around for puck touches or perfect scenarios. Sensarena can enhance reaction time, decision-making, and multitasking abilities, making you the next MVP. I mean, if the LA Kings are using it, it's got to be good. With our promo code HockeyIQ, you receive $50 off an annual plan purchase. Head on over to Sensarena.com to check it all out.
On the Hockey IQ podcast today, we bring on Alex Bezerra, someone who I feel like I got his last name right for once. So welcome to the podcast, Alex.
Thanks, Craig. I appreciate it.
Well, currently you are an assistant coach with the Cyclones. Before that, you're up in Ontario for quite some years doing some great work at many different levels. So excited to get you on, and I want to just jump straight into it here. You had a really cool segment on Twitter where you had players designing their own drills for like that after practice professional time. So I'm curious to dive into that. Where did that come from? Is that something that you've done? Was that something that came with the team? And why do you guys allow them to do that? You know, I thought practice time was supposed to be for the coaches.
Well, I mean, ultimately, these guys are professionals, and we're very fortunate, or I'm very fortunate as a defense coach with the Cyclones. Like, our D-Core is arguably the best in our league, and we have guys on that team that have had individual and team success wherever they've played. So the idea is actually from the summer, our veteran defenseman, our captain on the back end, DeJean Mingo, and I just kind of shooting the word throughout the summer, about development and how can we, integrate that more into what we do. And sometimes it's hard in our league. The ECHL's for the most part weekend based, but we do have games during the week. And once those Wednesday, Thursday games get mixed into your schedule, it's really tough to find time for player development. And so the time to do that, instead of, having a Monday focused on skills, was to just kind of hit it 10 minutes at a time after practice and kind of leave it up to our guys to make a determination on what they saw throughout, the weekend's games and what they want to work on over the next week. And so it's been great so far. We've posted a couple of videos online. We've saved some of the videos just for the sake of saving up content for the entire season, but try and keep it consistent. And really the idea of throwing the video out there is more so just understanding where I was at as a coach, 5 or 10 years ago, and getting started and really asking those questions of like, how do you get started? How do you get started with drills? How do you get started with player development? And what are the stuff that maybe your players are going to want to work on, whether they're professionals or junior players or minor hockey players? We're very fortunate at the professional level to have the resources that we have, especially with us, with the Cyclones. We have the Rochester American staff and the Buffalo Sabres staff who are awesome and have helped us so much over the last couple of years. So we get to utilize those resources at the NHL and the American League level. But, that John Smith, who's coaching a high school team in Ohio, may not have the exact same resources. And so putting those videos online and just allowing the average Joe hockey coach to have access to those is really important to myself. And, it's been great for the guys. They enjoy it. They love, when I'm busting out the iPad or the iPhone on the ice after practice, and they get to kind of strut their stuff. They get a little upset when we run out of characters and don't have enough to post their name or their Twitter handle or Instagram on there. But hopefully with the redesign of Twitter here, we can get a few more characters to help them out.
Yeah, potentially. And who knows, this might become like the Hartford Whalers, where pretty much half the team ended up going into management. I'm trying to remember all of the names, but there's so many like Hall of Famers or really high level coaches and executives in the NHL that all stemmed from, I'm kicking myself for not remembering the name here, but the guy, he's basically like, yeah, I'm just teaching and empowering my players. And then eventually, boom, they all ended up winning cups as players, execs, coaches. Like, it was unbelievable. Maybe that's what's going to be the Cincinnati Cyclones here.
We're super fortunate to have the group we have. That would not surprise me. And it's conversations, you know, naturally, again, within our league, these guys are not doing this to get rich at our level anyways. So, you know, they're, for the most part, the guys that are in their mid 30s and coming to maybe the end of their playing career, looking at what's next. And so with a guy like Dejan Mingo or Justin Vive or Louis Caparuso, like these are all guys that are looking at, you know, what's next in hockey for them. And that would not surprise me at all. So.
Yeah. And there's something to be said about like teaching yourself or teaching your peers with being able to then play and like effectively take whatever you're trying to learn and actually apply it. Like if you're doing it and teaching it, like you better know your stuff and the exact reasons, and you can start to see, okay, well maybe I can't do it as well as I thought because of these little pointers, and you're teaching yourself. And I got to imagine it only makes them better players by trying to teach someone else or even just teaching themselves.
You know, Greg, the neat part about the team we have this year, and Jason Payne's our head coach, and you know, a very good friend of mine that I've known for a number of years from back in Ontario, and obviously coaching together here. But we talked about it today at practice. It's just like this is just a different group. There's something different about them. We don't see it across the league. You know, whether it's a leadership thing or a culture thing. So we haven't been able to put our finger on it just yet, but whether it's stuff we do in practice or even implementing something new into an older drill, you know, or going down two goals in a game or going up two goals in a game, like this team is just so level-headed and so bought into what's going on. There's really, I mean, the ceiling is who knows how high, but it's a special group. And that makes our lives easy as coaches, because we can have open and honest conversation about everything in game, out of game, in practice, out of practice, and definitely makes practices real easy. So,
yeah, I'm curious to dive into what are some of those things that have come up. I mean, obviously you have a group, and it seems like you and Jason are very open. So it's like, how does that leadership apply throughout the team dynamic as well? Because it's got to be quite amazing. I mean, these guys are older than a lot of guys in the NHL, and they're playing and loving it, but they also want to have an involvement and are probably looking towards what am I doing next? How am I preparing myself?
Yeah, for sure. So the way our league works, we're allowed four veteran players in our lineup. So this year we have Justin Vive, who's been the captain for the last number of years, Rick Vive's son, the former Leaf. Justin is Mr. Cincinnati, and he's the kind of, you know, leader and the almighty, you know, lieutenant of this team here. And then Louis Caparuso, former University of Michigan player and longtime player in Europe. They run the forwards. They're the leadership group of the forwards. And Matt Barry has joined them as well. We picked up Matt Barry from Toledo, who's a phenomenal offensive player. And then we have Dejan Mingo, as I mentioned, on the back end. And those guys, you know, they kind of create this tiered system. And there's Jason and I, and ultimately Jason has things in mind that he wants to accomplish for our group every day. And the next level is them, and then the next level below them is everybody else. And having that open and honest communication between the tiers of you know, call it organized structure, you know, makes things real easy. And so I'll give you a great example. Last year's team, Justin and Louis were our first unit penalty killers. They were, you know, guys that were willing to go out and win faceoffs and block shots. We utilize them as much as we possibly could. And they also play on the first power play unit. They haven't touched the penalty kill this year in the first eight games, just because there's this, you know, understanding that there's other players on the team that can do that. And, you know, they're veteran guys. They understand their role and that they need other players to contribute as well. But other than joking around about it here and there, it's never really talked about. It's just understood. This is a message that was passed along from the coaching staff to them. We don't need you guys on the penalty kill right now, and hopefully we don't need you there for the season. It's a lot of hard minutes. And they are the two biggest cheerleaders off the bench for whoever ends up on the penalty kill. So, you know, essentially having those guys, you know, those four extra veteran guys and leaders and coaches on the bench every game makes life super easy for Jason and I.
Yeah, it's always amazing when the leaders are able to look beyond their own minutes and own responsibilities. That's awesome. Maybe what are some other things that have come up from the leaders or some things they wanted to try out? We've had some other folks on the podcast, but Dom is his first name, and he was with the Stockton Heat, and he was mentioning about how he had the players doing video sessions. Like, rather than him doing it, he would just break them up into like small groups and they'd all talk about it, or they talked about it as a big group, but it wasn't driven by them. So I'm curious if something like that's happened to you, or just like some minor suggestions like, hey, what about if we tried this in practice or warmups or whatever that makes life easier for everyone?
Yeah. And you had mentioned earlier. So both Jason and I are very open. Lines of communication with our players are always open 24/7. And so those conversations happen every day. You know, it could be something as small as, hey, we saw this in this drill and we'd like to change it, or we'd like to, you know, do this a little more, do this a little less. Video is a huge part of what we do every day, whether it's a pre-scout for whoever we're playing next or just reviewing, you know, how our games went on the weekend. But prior to putting those videos together, prior to putting those practices together, the first conversation is always obviously Jason and myself. The next conversation is with our leadership group. You know, what do you guys think? What did you see? Anything from the weekend that, you know, we need to really focus on, or anything with this upcoming team that we need to focus on? And so at the NHL level, at the American League level, those coaching staffs and development staffs are, you know, could be anywhere from half a dozen to two dozen people. In our league, it's just Jason and I. And so when we bring those four veterans into the mix, or we bring, you know, last year was Michael Hauser, who's a goalie with the Rochester Americans this year and played with Buffalo a little bit last year, who is a part of that veteran group as well. You know, to implement those players into your planning is super important and makes the day go by a lot easier. There's also, you know, I think one of the scariest things for us as coaches is sitting there and wondering what your players are thinking and what's going on in the dressing room. You know, maybe not so much at a minor hockey level, but definitely in high school or juniors or here in pro, sometimes you get wondering, oh, you know, do the guys like practice, or are they, you know, am I a little hard on them in a game? And so when you have that, the line of communication open like that, there's really no question marks. There's no room for negativity or gossip or whatever it may be. It's just, you know, they're honest with you and you can be honest with them.
Yeah, that open and honest has to go both ways. Obviously, the more that you're open with, like, I don't know, like, yeah, I'm still figuring that out. Like, I feel like, and you've probably seen it, it just opens up the honesty right back at you as a coach, where like, hey, if I don't know as a coach, like, you don't have to know every time as a player. And it just makes everyone feel a lot more comfortable, and the more comfortable you are with it, the better you're going to perform, because you're no longer like, I'm not going to raise my hand or speak up because I don't know over here. And when it comes to the time of truth, like, boom, oh, we don't know. And it's not getting done. Now it's everyone like, oh, hey, you know, help me with this. What do I need to do here? And it just creates this wonderful learning environment, whether it be from a specific pure player development or just from like implementing team systems and being more effective working together. I'm assuming you've had similar interactions.
Yeah. And again, like, we're very fortunate that this is our livelihood. I think naturally when you get to the pro level, like, this is our whole day is made up of these kind of conversations and what we do on a day-to-day basis. But you know, I can imagine, and I've lived it from a minor hockey standpoint in dealing with, you know, teenagers or high school or juniors or whatever it is, you're trying to kind of fit everything into one mold. Sometimes it's a little easier at the pro level than it is with the kids.
Yeah. It's, it's still great to get everyone involved in general. Like I always think about when we have conversations, like, are we bringing in the key people early enough? Sometimes it's always too late. I've seen that happen. And it usually needs to lean towards getting people into the conversation earlier rather than later. Cause, for my two cents is problems don't age well. They're not like fine wine. They're the exact opposite. It only gets worse.
It's so true. And that I think that goes for everything. Like, it's definitely, major problem in hockey when it comes to players and coaches, or coaches and coaches, or coaches and management. But I think it's also based in every relationship in our lives, right? And that having that ability to just kind of get in front of your issues. And we've now gotten to a point with Jason and I and our players where you're kind of looking ahead. We have a couple injuries. We have some guys that may get called up. We have some guys that maybe want to get called up to the American League or the NHL that haven't earned that quite yet. And so you're able to have conversations to get in front of those issues because you have that open and honest communication, as you would in, a relationship, whether it's with a wife or husband or boyfriend or girlfriend. You can have that open line of communication and get in front of issues. You're probably in a much better position.
Yeah. And it's so important, even as, like, for example, on a staff, it's obviously easier when it's just two of you, but even if you go further with the leadership group and all of that, just having clear expectations of here's what I expect and having those up front definitely makes things operate smoothly and eliminates a lot of potential issues. If everyone knows this is my area, that's your area. Well, yeah, someone can give you like, oh, hey, you tried this, thought about this. Yeah, I was thinking about this and build from there. But just having clear lanes of sorts that we can all work into, I think it's absolutely massive. And I love how you're talking about, like, even with the leadership group, like, they know, we got to bring these things up or talking about these things early and often. It just creates a good expectancy and you can go and execute without hesitation on your roles and responsibilities.
Yeah, that's bang on. And it's funny you mentioned this, implementing new things. I think it was a couple weeks back, we were working with our power play units after practice on the reverse bumper, the McDavid Dreisaitl reverse bumper, and pulling video on that and pulling video on, Tavares and Matthews. And I think it was Matt Barry, again, one of our veteran forwards who came to us and was like, we love it. We love the implementation of this new stuff. And we're all in for this kind of stuff every day, but McDavid and Dreisaitl don't play here. So the execution may not be the exact same. And I think when you hear that from a 30-something-year-old guy that you're coaching, you're kind of like, well, he's bang on. We see it, and from a coach's standpoint, we want to implement it, and we think it's the coolest thing in the world. And we know that if we can execute on it at our level, it's going to work out real nicely. But these guys have to live it. These guys are in the game, and these guys know what, for the most part, what works and what doesn't, because they've played at this level for, 10 years. And so, again, just having them be able to have that conversation with you and not sit there and just nod their head and try it, even though they may not feel that it's going to work, that's huge.
Oh, and it's so true with youth coaches too. They all see what's happening in the NHL and they're like, oh, we'll just reverse this engineer back all the way to our level. And I'm like, I don't know how that's going to work out. Those guys are a little talented, just a wee bit talented, and makes it really, it makes it look so simple and so easy. You're like, oh yeah, anyone can do that. And then you go and try to do it yourself, let alone your players. And you're like, maybe not. Maybe we need to teeter this back. And it's the same way with that. When I think about, shipping the Hockey IQ podcast or newsletter, I'm like, whatever works. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't need to be complicated. Just whatever works, that's what we're going with. What's effective, rather than the fancy smancy. And I always remember, this is one of my first epiphanies as a coach. I'm like, you go to war with the army you have, not going to war with the army you wish you had. And it's so true. And it's like finding what works for your guys, your gals, whatever it is. It's so massive, and how that should probably dictate team systems more than the coach's desires.
I'm going to have to steal that line from you at some point this year for sure. But it's funny you mentioned that. Like, that's for Jason and I, that was our mentality coming into this year. I think it's one thing as a coach, especially for him as a head coach, to sit there and implement systems, which is maybe the hardest thing for any coach, probably in any sport, but definitely in hockey, where it's, you know, this is the system I want us to play. This is what I see in the NHL. This is what I think works. And then looking at your roster and thinking, is this going to work for our guys? I'm sure you remember the 1-3-1 was a huge thing a few years back, and Tampa had played it, and everybody thought the 1-3-1 in the neutral zone was the most amazing thing in the world. And then you realize that, you know, those three guys in the middle play such a huge role and have to have this unbelievable talent to be able to hold people on their own half of center ice, that not every team has guys that can do that. And so for us, changing that mindset, it's funny you bring that up, but for us to be able to change that mindset as a coaching staff and worry about what do we believe our guys are actually capable of has probably led us to have the success that we've had early in the season here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm loving this conversation and all the coaching hacks that we're getting into. And we'll even throw it out, parents, you know, be easier on your kids. You know, it looks easy and should happen, but I don't know. It's a lot tougher. Everyone's job is easy when you're not the one doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
So curious to dive into this a little bit further. Obviously, you're more on the cutting edge than probably most coaches out there. So I'll just give a quick tip of the cap to you. What are some other things that you're working on here?
So, you know what? I think there's you can break the skill stuff down from a tactical or technical standpoint. I think what the biggest thing for us is, or definitely for myself, is just looking at each guy and trying to understand what they're capable of and what their efficiencies are and what their deficiencies are, and trying to kind of chip away at that every single day. It could be, and I saw you had posted there on Twitter, like the challenge for the month of November is make no look passes. And I would say that there's a couple defensemen that we have that are more offensive guys and looking for different ways, whether it's deception by use of footwork or stick work or their eyes or how they handle the puck or routes that they take to the puck. And I think from a skill development standpoint, those little things are so important. The easiest way to look at it from a coaching standpoint is let's implement something that's great for the team, you know, and a skill thing or something on the ice or off the ice that's great for the team, where we can kind of work on it as a professional and dealing with professional hockey players is just let's look at it player by player. We have the time to do it. We have the resources and we have video and whatever it is that we can kind of pinpoint something player by player every day. Now, I'm sure it would be much easier if there was six other coaches on the ice and Jason and I could just kind of wheel around and talk to the guys the whole practice. But maybe not, because we're so involved in the practice. And, you know, I'm out there when we're doing some of our transition drills or some of the stuff that we've posted or I posted online, you're right in the drill. You're challenging the guys, you're boxing out the forwards as they're trying to get to the net. And maybe that's the better way to go about doing it. And I would encourage a lot of coaches to get into that as well. Like, get into the drill, and you're going to see that, if your forward goes from the corner to the net underneath you, he's going to give defensemen a hell of a time trying to keep him away from the net because he can't watch the puck. But when you're the one playing defense in practice against these guys, you understand that that's a skill. Like, that's something that you can utilize or teach. And I think if we were just kind of sitting off to the side and watching the drill play out, we may not have the same understanding. So yeah, I think we could go on for days about some of the skill development stuff. And I try and make myself available online to have those conversations with some of these coaches, especially at the youth levels. What surprised me a ton is the amount of junior or college coaches that have reached out and said, hey, we saw this, we're looking for help with this, or what do you do for video? Or, you know, is there something that you're doing individually or as a team? We do things as a group just to kind of put it out there from a video standpoint. We do a lot as a group, but it's involving the players. Like they're so interested and open to having those conversations that I can have a video together for one of my defensemen and show it to the entire team. And they understand that it's not a, there might be 10 teaching clips in that video that, you know, make up a minute and 20 seconds of video content. And it's not a shot at that one guy. It's just, hey, this is what we're trying to teach. This is what we see. We could show it to 23 guys in that locker room. And I think where coaches would be surprised is the other 22 guys are looking at it and going, wow, I see this. I probably need to do this. You know, hey, he's really good at that. I think I need to work on that. But again, you need that unity and communication and relationship with your group. So.
Yeah. It's all built on that trust of like, hey, like my livelihood's in your hands and your livelihood's in my hands a little bit. Like, how can we make this work? Like we're both wanting to win. We're both on the same team and both having that mentality and having that, I'll call it the infinite game, where we're not like what's mine is, you know, taken from someone else, which sometimes it is. Like you got to take someone's job, but at the same point, like for winning, there's a lot more to go around when you're winning and doing well rather than protecting your own turf. Like there's always problems that arise from that. So I think that's awesome to hear that players and the environment more so that you've provided as a coaching staff allows for these discussions to happen where players are happy when other guys are on the PK and they're cheering them on from the bench, or, you know, we're going through video and okay, we're talking through things of like, oh, how could I have played this better? Or, you know, how can I help you play that better? And just getting that collaborative approach where they're feeling empowered. Cause at the end of the day, as coaches, we can't make the decisions if they're passing to that guy or that guy. Like they got to make a good quality decision. And the more that we're giving them decision-making off the ice only improves their on the ice decision-making.
Sure. For sure.
Totally awesome. Agree. Awesome stuff there. So I'm curious, what's been the difference from going in the junior ranks versus the professional ranks, or a place that might be small town America or Canada to a major league city like a Cincinnati?
Yeah, I think the bright lights of Cincinnati and the major league setting that we're in is probably the biggest difference. I think for us back in Ontario, junior hockey and minor hockey is huge. There's so many teams, so many players. And you know, for us in Cincinnati, there are youth organizations and junior hockey, you know, at the tier three level. And there's some junior hockey around and minor hockey, whether it's Columbus or somewhere in Indiana or whatever it may be. But we are really the only show in town from a professional standpoint for hockey. And so the pressure, not only on us as a staff, but on the players is absolutely unbelievable. I mean, you're making a mistake in front of 10,000 fans. You know, and I think for some of these young guys that are coming into our league, whether it's from college hockey or the Ontario Hockey League or somewhere in the CHL, or they played in Europe, maybe they've never played in North America professionally before. It's really an eye opener. I think for Jason and I, we're now at a point, I mean, Jason's in year five, I'm in year two coaching in this league. You kind of get used to it at some point, just understanding that, you know, you're going to have fans that are appeased with what you do, and you're going to have other fans that, you know, are booing you night in and night out. But for some of the players, it's just kind of keeping them level headed. I think that's the biggest difference. You're dealing with men, and you mentioned it before, this is their livelihood as it is mine and Jason's. So just understanding that these are not kids that go home to mom and dad or get driven to the rink. These are men, and some of them have wives and children, and you know, they have people that they need to take care of as well. And so that mentality has really put me in a great opportunity as a young coach to just grow, because I can have conversations with these players that have been in the league or have played in the NHL or played in the American League. Those important conversations, like, they happen daily, and I think they're so important for growth. I think as coaches, at the time that we stop learning, that's the time where we stop coaching. and we find something else to do. And you know, that's really pushed me to become the person and the coach that I am. And I think it's so important. And that may be the biggest coaching hack, is just like, you get an opportunity to talk hockey with somebody, you got to take that opportunity. Doesn't matter if it's what we're doing right now on a podcast, or just shooting a message to somebody on Twitter to say, hey, you know, you coached UMass and saw you guys beat Vermont. It's phenomenal. Is there anything that stood out from your game that, you know, led to you guys winning that huge game? And that answer back might be something as simple as, you know, our power play was phenomenal, you should go watch it. And you know, I think when you can take small steps like that, it's bigger than hockey. It's relationship building. I mean, we've met online. It's an awesome opportunity to be able to talk to you on your podcast here. And we've had phone calls in the past, and I hope to continue that relationship. But it doesn't make a difference whether it's an NHL coach or a minor hockey coach or a player. You can learn from everybody.
I love that. Learning from everyone, whether it be good or bad, you're like, oh, I don't like that, don't do that. Or, hey, I like this, you know, I'm going to steal that and do it. And I love the point you made about having the ability to have conversations. And I can sense that it was starting to go beyond the ice, like handling pressure or a really stressful situation. I mean, particularly at your level, like, you know, these are adults. These are truly men that have real life consequences if they get injured or something doesn't go well. And it's extremely terrifying for a lot of these guys, right? It's not like the NHL where they've got an NHL pension to go back on or a big league paycheck to fall back on. And just, I can imagine how the conversations and what impact you're having on their lives are just beyond the rink is. And it's probably the same way back to you of you, you're getting real human beings. You know, there might be some egos, but it's probably a little bit less than, you know, I got $10 million egos. You know, like, no, like truly we need each other. Let's all relate here. We're all humans trying to make the best of it that we can. And what that's like, is there any conversations that really stuck out to you of like, wow, this is way bigger than hockey, or like, I just changed the trajectory of someone's life, or they've changed mine in a big way?
Yeah, I think there's, and again,
way to just drop a big one on you. So no pressure here.
No, you know, again, like I know with the group that we have that, you know, I can be open and honest with anybody, not just with them, but, you know, family is a big one. Relationships are a big one. I know for myself, like I have a son that, you know, turns 1 year in 2 weeks, and he's back home in Ontario, and based on our schedule and how much travel we do, I get an opportunity to see him when, you know, can come down and visit when we have the time or when I have a home schedule that fits. But, you know, my family doesn't live down here with me, you know, so it leaves a little more time for conversations outside of the rink. But you know, I count on these guys as well, just as much as they count on me. You know, you need people around you, every single day. It's just the nature of us as human beings. So, you know, we do have a few players on our team that have families or have, like I said, a wife or children. And, you know, we're not as fortunate as maybe the American League or the NHL, where financials are a little better, travel schedules a little better. You know, the places that you live are a little better, and you can kind of run your family life and your hockey life, you know, and they kind of go together. Where here at our level, everybody's trying to make it to the next level for that reason. You know, there's hockey and then there's the family stuff and financial stuff. And so a lot of the conversations are, you know, with those guys are kind of surrounded around, you know, we have this, or we're going to Iowa for 5 days, or we're going to Utah for a week. You know, do we have any idea of the schedule or what we're doing there? Because I'm going to let my wife know, or I want to let my girlfriend know, or fiance, or, you know, I need to arrange for the kids to be somewhere. You know, and again, if you have the luxury of playing in the NHL and making $10 million and your nanny's going to watch your kids every day, it really doesn't make a difference. You know, you just pay the nanny and the nanny does what they have to do with the kids and everybody's fine. But yeah, those kind of conversations are, are great. They can get a little emotional at times. And I think that that vulnerability and relationship with your players is so important away from the rink. Like, it's one thing to have that in the rink. And you know, you had mentioned it earlier, like, we don't know everything as coaches, just like we don't know everything as human beings or business owners or whatever it may be. The more you can get ahead of that, or the easier time you have getting ahead of that and communicating that to the people that you work with or you spend time with, the easier everybody's life is going to be. And I think for, you know, for me, I'm 33 years old. I have two players on this team in Justin Vibe and Louis Caparuso that, you know, we're the same age. We grew up together, played in the GTHL. Like, I'm coaching guys that are the same age as I am. I'm coaching guys that, you know, we had a Jesse Schultz last year, you know, who was 7 years older than I was. So there's a lot of similarities in the lives that we live, and just being able to, again, have those honest conversations about non-hockey stuff, it makes things real. And maybe that's the best way to look at it. You know, it's, we're not just robotic coaches and, hey, I'm going to coach here at the rink and then I'm done. You're a real person, and you have real relationships with people.
Real. I love that word, real. It's real. It's not this fake, baloney, phony stuff. I feel like every person in the entire world is looking for a good, real conversation. And too often do we put on faces of like, everything's great or perfect or, you know, just mislead in general for many various reasons. But just being straight, like, man, here's what I got. Like, I'm here to help. Here's, I've done my work, and, you know, doing the best I can. You do the same, and well, nice real time together.
For sure. For sure.
So that's awesome. Wonderful having you on. Is there anything else that you want to talk about or bring up while I have you here? Otherwise, I'd love to hear more about that open ice rink. I went down to Cincinnati and I was blown away. You guys already had an ice rink downtown just hanging outdoors. I'm like, it's not that cold yet.
Yeah, I, you know what, the only thing like that I would mention is again, we're open to anybody. Jason's the same way. I know sometimes it, you know, people's lives get a little busy, but you know, whether it's on Twitter or by email or text message, like, just reach out. If there's any help that you need, you know, and you know it for yourself, but you know, any minor hockey coaches, junior hockey coaches, you know, really any kind of coaches or teachers or business people, like, just reach out. We're available. You know, we say the same thing to our players, like, your families can reach out at any time, like, anything they want to talk about. I think you open yourself up. The fear with maybe doing that, not just as a coach, but, you know, just as a person, is like, hey, there's going to be some conversations that maybe somebody's going to bring up that you don't want to get into. And I think when that's the case, you should be willing to communicate that. You know, and I think about myself as a minor hockey coach, and I've had minor hockey coaches reach out and say, hey, you know, how do you have conversations with your players about ice time? That's the biggest thing at any level, and probably with any sport, but, like, you know, ice time is such a huge conversation, and it's so scary for coaches to think about having that conversation with a parent or with a family member or with the player themselves. And, again, I think if you can honestly sit there and say to whoever, you know, hey, this is a hard conversation that maybe we can have, but it may get a little too intense to have that conversation. Like, that honesty is so important. But yeah, that's the only thing that I would add, Greg, is like, anybody that needs help, just reach out and find a way. I mean, we're all connected somehow, and the world is such that whether it's Twitter or Instagram, LinkedIn, Snapchat, I mean, we have our phones or computers on us 24/7. So, you know, for Jason and I, we're both available. We're open to talking to anybody about anything. It's important for us to grow as people and as hockey coaches, but just putting ourselves out to the community, and not just the hockey community, but, you know, we're here to help. That's who we are as people. So.
Awesome. I can't top that. So I'm just to say thank you, Alex, so much for coming on here. Someone reach out to Alex already. Give the guy a conversation. He clearly wants one. No, this is awesome, man. Hope you guys have more success and continue to have it. You guys obviously are off to a strong season here to start. 7-0-0-1
Yep.
Pretty fantastic. And clearly has a lot to do with the work you guys have put in beforehand, before the season gets going, setting these expectations, having the conversations and everything else that we talked about. So thank you so much. If anyone sees the Cyclones coming through town, definitely reach out to Alex and buy him a beer or coffee.
I love that. Thanks, Greg. No, and I appreciate the opportunity, and I look forward to chatting again.
That concludes this week's episode. Thanks for joining us here at Hockey IQ. If you haven't already, take a quick moment to hit that subscribe button, give us a thumbs up, and drop a review. If you want to be a great teammate, even recommend us to a friend. You can follow us at Hockey's Arsenal on Twitter and Instagram. Check out the website, hockeysarsenal.com, where you can subscribe to the weekly newsletter. You won't regret it. Catch you beauts here next week for a brand new episode.